Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is the public session of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. And my name is Julie Headland with ICANN staff. And at this point, I'll go ahead and turn the meeting over to Jim Galvin. Jim is one of the co-chairs of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group, and he'll be providing an overview of the draft final report of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. The IRD Working Group is a joint working group between ESSAC and the GNSO. My co-chair is Edmund Chung from the GNSO, and I'm from the ESSAC side of the joint activity. Next slide. So the working group has been around for a couple of years, and we have finally come to what we hope is a conclusion, a final document. So by way of introduction, we make the following observations. Internationalized domain guidelines exist for domain labels, so there are rules and procedures for dealing with internationalized labels and domain names, a label meaning a part of a domain name. But there are no standards that exist for the submission and display of domain registration data in directory services, for example, in the WHOIS service. Next slide. As I said earlier, this is a joint activity of the GNSO and the ESSAC, and we are specifically chartered to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing submission and display specifications. So this is directly targeted at registrants who want to register domain names and what it is they have to enter and input, for example, their names and contact information, as well as being able to input the name itself, the domain name that you're looking to acquire. And, of course, when you want to get information about that domain name and you're using today what we call the WHOIS service. Next slide. Speaking directly to the issue of suitability, the questions that the working group asked itself in considering its recommendation is, and these are two questions, whether it's suitable to internationalize domain registration data, and of course, whether or not it would be suitable to display this information. Next slide. And then, of course, there's the feasibility of whether or not it's possible to do this. Is the current WHOIS system, the current directory system that we have in the ICANN community and the domain name lifecycle, that being WHOIS, whether it's capable of handling the queries and display of internationalized registration data, and going down one level, whether or not the individual data elements that WHOIS in particular would be able to deal with, would we be able to display that information? So the obvious answer to these questions, of course, is yes. It certainly is suitable to be able to input this information. It's fair, and not just fair, but important to recognize that registrants are not monolingual. There certainly is a great deal of expectation and motivation for people to be able to use the domain name system in their own local language. And it is, in fact, unreasonable to assume that everyone would be able to enter or use or know, you know, domain name information in something other than their local language. We looked at the specific elements that are currently collected when you go to acquire a domain name or even just look up a domain name. These are those elements, and we observed that there are actually quite a number of international standards and specifications that are relevant to these individual data elements. And so we tried to pull those together and make them visible so that everybody would know about them. We then considered the question of translation and transliteration of the various data elements, the information that the current directory system, specifically WHOIS, provides. There is the central issue of balancing the needs of the local registrant, who we accept will only be able to speak or document in their own local language, versus the needs of global users. Obviously, the current directory system, WHOIS in particular, is used throughout the world. And so the question is, you know, what happens with these global users who need to find out the name and address and other information about a domain name if it doesn't appear in their local language? So in this particular case, hopefully many of you, or if not all of you, will recall that last year we had published an interim report and we had asked for community advice on four different models that we had created for where this transliteration or translation might occur in the domain name lifecycle. Since we actually did not get any consensus, we did get a few community comments, but not consensus, and more importantly, we did not have consensus in our own working group. This issue in particular we have identified as something which requires further study. If we accept that registrants will only be able to enter data and in their own local language, and then, of course, users of WHOIS will have their own language, and those two might not match. It needs further study with the community as to where to provide translation services or transliteration services. Our working group was not, in particular, comprised of the right people in order to examine this issue carefully. So we need a working group with a different set of people. With respect to the question of being suitable to display registration data in other than, or be able to display them in an internationalized or a local language, the language which was entered, I mean, the obvious answer is yes. And while there is no standard format for the elements of a domain name registration record in whole, so ICANN itself does not have a policy with respect to how this information should be displayed. As I had shown before in the previous couple of slides, the chart, a number of the data elements do actually have international standards that could apply to them in terms of how one would display that specific information and that specific data element. And so we acknowledge and, in fact, would recommend that the community would benefit from a standard registration data schema. So, with respect to the specific question of WHOIS, the current directory system that is used today in the internet community, would this be able to deal with internationalized registration data? It obviously does not. That's a self-evident conclusion. However, what is interesting is in looking around and talking to other country codes, the registries, and registrars, we find that many people have made changes or enhancements to the WHOIS protocol to at least accommodate and work around the fact that internationalized registration data is important. So they provide something which works in their own local environment or for the community of people that they most directly serve, not for the global community of people who actually would make use of the WHOIS directory system. And, of course, with respect to the question of is it possible to introduce display specifications, well, the obvious answer is yes. And, in fact, most elements that are collected today that might be regarded as registration data, there are standards that apply to them, as you've seen from the chart that we had two or three slides ago. So we have the following set of specific recommendations that are in this document. Let me preface this set of recommendations by pointing out that the final document is currently in a public comment period. That public comment period closes on November 17th. So I would encourage you to read that document in full. And if you have questions or concerns or suggestions or any comment at all, in fact, you should submit them as part of the public comment period. There's an opportunity to do that. Before the working group takes it back, we will look at those public comments, revise the document, and then submit it for its final publication. So obviously the first recommendation is specifically for the community to take a step back and develop a data model for registration data. It is worth noting that there is not today in ICANN, in any community, a standardized registration data. There are requirements that certainly form a baseline for what is registration data. Registries under contract with ICANN have obligations as defined by their contract, both for the display and what they have to collect. Registrars that are accredited by ICANN have the same obligations and the same requirements. There are, of course, country codes. There are, of course, in the number resource organization, they have their own set of guidelines for what they do with respect to registration data for addresses. So, but there is no uniform data model for that information as far as what it looks like, what's collected, how it might be displayed, that kind of thing. And so obviously our first recommendation is that that baseline, that foundation be created by the community. The Census Working Group was chartered out of the GNSO and ESSAC. We then focus on looking back to the GNSO and ESSAC to look at the issue of translation and transliteration. As I had mentioned earlier in the in an earlier slide, registrants certainly should be allowed, be permitted to be monolingual in whatever is most appropriate for them in the community in which they live and that they occupy. And in terms of this working group, we were concerned that the requirement or the need to translate or transliterate is obvious. I mean, we accepted that that's a necessary service that needs to be provided, but where to provide that so that it would serve the global needs of the ICANN community was not something that we were prepared to answer. And so we believe that the GNSO and the ESSAC, as the two bodies that had chartered this working group, would step back and should look specifically by getting registries, registrars, and other parties who would make use of this information, should take a hard look at which one of them, or perhaps more than one of them, would provide translation and transliteration services. And then, of course, we have for a directory service protocol right now the WHOIS protocol, a protocol which was developed in the early days of the Internet. It was used originally for the ability to identify and contact infrastructure providers, so people who were actually part of the operation of the Internet. And today it has simply acquired the responsibility of also being the way in which we display the contact information for who owns the domain name. That protocol itself was really based on US ASCII. It's a very simple protocol. It does not have the ability to deal with internationalized registration data. And so it obviously is a requirement, an obligation on the part of the community to take a step back and examine how it might meet its own needs. Internationalized domain names are going to require a different protocol in order to support the WHOIS protocol-like services that we have come to expect. So this is a link to the final draft. As I said before, it's in a public comment period. Public comment period ends on November 17th. So if you have any specific concerns or suggestions for this document, now is the time to get them in. After November 17th, the process is the working group will then take into a meeting or series of meetings all of those public comments that come in. We would revise the final document accordingly, and then it'll be published, and that will be it for the community. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Now it's, there we go. I'll just talk louder. My name is Andrew Sullivan. Thank you for this report. I read it. One of the things I was wondering about, I haven't submitted any comments because I wondered about this. Why is IRIS not mentioned at all in this report? Because that's another protocol that we have for the same purpose, or at least one of the things that can be done. I can think of lots of reasons why maybe you didn't want to unearth that zombie. But it seems to me that you know, there are a number of features in IRIS that actually address these things, and you know, maybe it hasn't been a successful protocol, but it nevertheless does serve this purpose. And I think that there are going to be people who wonder why we don't use the protocol that's already been developed to solve this problem rather than to try to find a new one.
So thank you for that question. In fact, we agree with you. The working group did discuss IRIS. It was mentioned, you know, several times over the course of the lifetime of this working group. One of the recommendations is, in fact, to choose a particular protocol to replace WHOIS. And this working group it did not speak to that question directly because that really was not the scope of the charter of this working group. We were simply to examine the suitability and feasibility of submission and display specifications and to identify. And so in that context, the working group chose to simply identify the particular actions that need to take place, one of which is to replace the existing WHOIS protocol. IRIS is certainly one of those options. As I know that you know, there are other options even today being discussed in the ICANN community and in the IETF community where this technical standard might come from. So we did not believe that it was within our scope to actually make the choice of the replacement for WHOIS, simply to identify that that had to happen.
I saw you standing. I thought you were going to say something. That's a lot easier.
Hi, Chuck Gomes. By the way, I thought the report was very good. So I compliment the group in that regard. With regard to that same recommendation, it's worded that staff has recommended to work on this new protocol. How is that envisioned for staff to do? And maybe Julie has a response there, or what? It's not clear to me what that means to work to develop a new protocol. Obviously, it's not staff's responsibility to actually develop protocols. Does that mean working with the IETF, the broader community with the IETF? What's the thinking of the group in that regard?
More specifically, the recommendation is carefully worded to suggest that staff should work with the community to identify a protocol. So we acknowledge and recognize that in principle, its policy development process focuses on policy, not on technical details. So, in fact, this community might not be the right place for protocol work. But there might be existing protocols, and so this community would, in fact, consider that question and perhaps identify others that could be used. Alternatively, it would, you know, reach out to the community it typically reaches out to for technical development, which is the IETF, But there are obviously other internet standards bodies for other protocols. So we tried to word the recommendation carefully, I think, to speak to your question and, you know, not direct the staff to actually do the work, but for the staff to work with the community itself to you know, answer the question of identifying an access protocol.
Yeah, Wilfried Weber here, and I have two different reasons why I'm interested in this stuff. The first one is actually the presence on the RT4 under WHOIS policy review team, and we are dealing with more or less a broadly overlapping set of issues. So I'm really happy to have the chance to be in this room and to listen to your presentation here. And this also makes me a little bit following up on the gentleman's comments here. I do not mind asking ICANN staff to be sort of the focal point of this future development or coordination. I'm just curious whether this is the right place to put the responsibility. And if it is not, I would like to ask the question, which other alternatives do we have? Because knowing IETF, you can do lots of good things in IETF, but you need to have some entity or some group of people, some organizations actually being interested in the progress of the work. So I'd really like sort of this working group as well as ICANN staff to maybe have a chat and come back to the community with some sort of feeling and recommendation how to really progress that. Because I'm also having sort of another angle to the thing, because I'm involved in the numbers registry business in the bigger European service region. And while this is not dealing with names, the registry is having the same issues because our service region covers at least 5 or 6 different scripts and a multitude of different languages. So whatever comes out of this effort should actually be applicable with minor modification for this other area, or the other way around, as we are going to start to deal with this issue from the point of view of the numbers registry, at least in one of the 5 regions, and I do know that some others are pondering the same issue, we should try to sync up, because the worst thing to happen, I guess, would actually be to have 2 separate approaches to the same problem, and then something which just doesn't make sense. So just for a statement. And the second thing, if I may continue, unless someone else wants to get the microphone in between.
Let me just take a moment to say thank you for that comment, and we, the working group, would certainly welcome community input on that issue in particular. In the public comment would be an ideal opportunity, and we would really very much appreciate comments from the community on that particular issue, you know, how we should handle this particular recommendation. So thank you.
Yeah, and the other thing is with the disclosure statement that I am completely illiterate when it comes to languages and different scripts and that sort of things outside of the European environment, which is pretty simple because we share the same concept of having characters and sort of they do represent some stuff. Regarding this translation and transliteration, have you tried to reasonably deeply understand whether there is even a possibility to translate some of the information which is presented based on scripts which are not character-based. Like a Chinese approach to the problem is completely different than the Russian ones or our German ones. So did you do any investigation like how far you can actually take that? Because my guess would be it's easy to do the transliteration between Cyrillic and Latin or between Greek and Latin. But I'm not sure whether it would really make sense to try to do that, like, for example, with Korean or some other scripts that I don't know what the innards are. Thank you.
I'll comment only that translation and transliteration was a significant topic within the working group. But Steve Shang from ICANN, our staff support for this working group, I'll let him speak to more details.
Thank you. I think that's a very important and excellent question. That is the feasibility of translation and transliteration. There are some current systems that exist. So, for example, the Unicode have the library and also Google translation and transliteration. So one of the tasks for the issues report is to see, you know, whether there exist tools, you know, that are able to cover. And maybe one answer is there may be no tool to be able to handle the complexity of language and scripts that ICANN community is dealing with. So that could be one of the conclusions. But I wouldn't prejudge the conclusion until we do the work. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments?
Joe Waldron from VeriSign. So I echo all the comments about the report. I think it was very well done. But I have just one question about variants and whether the domain name registration data or the display of that included the consideration of how you'd handle the variants.
The document does have a footnote with respect to variants. We did actually have some discussion about them. There was more discussion of variants in the interim report that was published a year ago. For the purposes of this recommendation, we simply recognized that ICANN had recently started its variant case study activities. And in fact, it now has in progress working group to unify those things, to try and bring them together into a single recommendation. In the absence of having that work and knowing that work was coming, we more directly actually chose to not say too much about variants in this document. The community itself needs to define what a variant is and what that means. And so we suspect that once that happens, then there'll be some additional work or comments or policy that would come from that particular conclusion. Any other comments or questions? Who has the remote room, Julie? Oh. Any questions or comments from the remote participants?
There's one comment from Mark Costers. He says there's work underway within the IETF to start a working group in dealing with new directory service protocol called WIRDS. That's his comment. Great. Thank you for the comment.
Yes, since Andrew had mentioned the IRIS protocol, so thank you for that comment. Mark is observing that there is also additional work. And in fact, going back to Andrew Sullivan, he wants to make a comment about that.
So this is Andrew Sullivan again, and I'm actually involved in that work, partially thanks to ICANN. I just want to say that we will have a BOF at the Taipei meeting on WIRDS, where we will determine partly whether there is support to set this up. So. Despite the fact that I don't really want to go back to this issue, I want to point out that there's a lot of pressure from area directors about the fact that we have IRIS already, so why do we need another protocol? So if you are interested in this and you want to participate, it would be valuable either to join the list at the IETF or else to come to the Birds of a Feather session, which is, I believe, on Wednesday morning in Taipei. But, of course, if you're not going to be in Taipei, it's a long way to go for one session. The reason that we need that kind of input if we're going to work on this, because it's by no means certain that we will, is because if it isn't clear that there's going to be a real deployment effort this time around, then we're not going to go through the work of, you know, setting up a working group and chartering it and getting all the documents out in order to have two new protocols that don't get used.
Just for context, for the public record, the IETF is meeting in 2 weeks in Taipei, the IETF has its process for standards development, so Andrew mentioned Birds of a Feather sessions, and they are used for gauging community support and a need and desire to have a particular protocol. So you know, thank you to Mark Kosters for mentioning this new protocol development, this new opportunity for how to do the submission and display of internationalized registration data. And as Andrew said, the IETF, you know, there is at least a community of people who believe that we should have something in addition to or as an alternative to IRIS available. IRIS is the protocol the IETF had developed years ago, which includes many features, not just the submission and display of internationalized registration data. So I think I answered all the obvious IETF things in that. I don't know if anybody wants to add anything to that, or if you have an additional question, please feel free. And we have one more question from the floor.
Thanks, Julie. Based on what Andrew said and then and the work that Mark is endeavoring to get a handle on and get started, would it be appropriate for the ICANN community that has the needs, as expressed in this report pretty clearly, to do a little bit of exploring, and maybe this is where staff can help, of the issue of, you know, is IRIS maybe not the best way to go? Should we try? And what I'm getting at, it sounds like in the IETF there may need to be some motivation to pursue the work. Should we do a little bit of exploring on our side? Because this is a real need as we continue to expand IDNs and for other reasons as well, as you guys document. I'm just wondering if we need to give them some input to either spur the work on or not.
I think the short answer to your question is yes, and I will leave it to Dave Piscitello to provide the long answer.
Hello, ICANN. Actually, Chuck, Mark Kosters came to an ICANN meeting, it was Cairo, I believe, and he gave a presentation on a RESTful who is. And last meeting in Singapore, I believe, or the meeting before, Andrew Newton came and gave a presentation that was much more focused on how Aaron had implemented the RESTful architecture and how now it is in production. And, you know, based on some of the input we got there and based on some of the activities that we'd been doing in parallel with the IRD work and with some of the work in ESSAC, you know, some of the staff at ICANN had done some experimenting with this, and we've tried some prototypes. We actually, you know, discovered that RIPE was looking at the same kind of techniques. And we recently wrote an article for Usenix, Login Magazine, and I'll see that gets published on the results of that experiment and some of the value add of that. And so, you know, we sort of have tried to keep abreast of the whole why not IRIS, because and tried to understand if there was a way for us to come up with something that was much more lightweight in, you know, in footprint, much more consistent with some of the, you know, and synergistic with some of the existing web-based deployments of the registrars. And I think that we're starting to get enough of a picture of how this might work that we should be, I'd love to hear encouragement specifically from your organization and others to continue to study this so that staff can continue to move this out of kind of a skunk works of just a bunch of techies who like to write bits to something that is, you know, is a line item in the budget.
And Julie also in the back next. Two in the back.
Yeah, Wilfried Weber once again. I'd like to come back a little bit to the IRIS stuff by saying that I don't mind having IRIS eventually succeed, although I don't believe it, because the protocol was pretty well defined and there were quite a few entities who were offering pilot implementations The RIPE NCC was one of those organizations. We were deploying that for the numbers registry for, I think, more than 2.5 years. It turned out that the community didn't use it, didn't want to use it. So while I do agree with the IETF with asking the question, why do you want to start over again if there is already an RFC and a protocol, I think the IETF or the us being the IETF community, we should actually sort of go back a couple of blocks and ask the question, why didn't this thing succeed? And maybe in the framework of this IDN stuff, come up with a slightly modified point of view, like what IRIS or a modification or a replacement should actually offer to the community and should actually do. Because there is no point in having an RFC, having a standards RFC maybe, having a couple of implementations and nobody uses it. I mean, it's just wasted effort. I'd sort of being practical here, I'd really like to have something which is easily to deploy and which is accepted by the community.
Thank you. On the left, Julie. Somebody, okay. Never mind.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mohammed. I have been in the first committee that was trying to implement the IDN, and I see so many faces here since 2000. And to be honest, after 10 years, so we start seeing the first implementation of the IDN on the root zone file. And we know that there is so many discussion going between ICANN and IETF in order to have some standards step by step, not all of them available at the same time. But we all know when we implement IDN that there was a huge issue of the internationalized data that people need to put on and to make it available. So my question and my advice is, won't be at that stage freezing this whole passion that we see and this whole movement for people trying to set up IDN as a new, you know, energy coming from various areas who want to be part of it. My advice, is it possible to get a one-step implementation as a testing to in order to better explore what we get as available standard in order, but not getting anything will freeze a little bit what people are trying to implement, specifically if you look at all the danger coming on not getting this information available now. I don't know if it is something that can be defined as a step, not an ending point, but just a first implementation period as we did when we start doing about ADNA and then try to put more standard available up to now. I think that it's just some advice that the working group can put on the table and not just wait to get a complete set of satisfaction before implementing.
So if I understood your comment, you're asking for additional experience with a choice of how to do the display and submission of internationalized registration data, so a follow-on to Dave's comment?
What I don't want to see happen clearly is these 11 years of exploration that we have done before we come up with something that is the implementation we get. I mean, I'm not exploring to get a full satisfaction because there was always way of looking at new standard as IETF is working on it, but just waiting to get all these things done before providing advice of a standard to be the proper one, I think that will be another set of years in front of us, and this will really decrease the all this energy that we have already spent on trying to promote it.
Let me also add and suggest that you take advantage of the public comment period that's open for this document and actually make a submission and specifically asking for, you know, what you would like to see for the next step as a result of this document and the discussion that we've had here. It's just helpful and as well as being important that we have some documentation with respect to our motivation for activities. Any other comments or questions from the working group? Steve, remote?
There are some. Andrew Sullivan have a comment on the mailing list, on the remote participation. Do you want to say that aloud, or I want to read it out for you? Andrew said the Where's draft can be found at link. It will be especially helpful to get feedback from the ICANN community on the requirement. Currently, provide a link. Okay? Thanks.
Anything on the phone?
Yes, and I think that applies also to the last comment, too, who is looking for, I mean, the ICANN community, IETF is looking for additional input from this community about a choice of protocol, and our last public comment here from the working group was also commenting about having some additional information. So thank you, Andrew, for that. Is there anyone on the phone who would like to speak? Okay. Yes. One last call for anyone in the remote room, in this room, and on the phone. And if not, I thank you all very much for being here today. Last reminder that we do have the public comment period open until November 17th. Please do take a look at the document in detail and submit any questions or concerns that you have. Thank you for being here this morning, and we're adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. And for those who are interested, and I think some of you have already entered the room for the next session, starting at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock is the public session of the DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group. So if you are interested, you may stay in the room, and we'll be starting that session at 11 o'clock, and that goes until 12:30. Thank you very much. You're right. Thank you, Jim, for correcting me on that. As hopeful as I was to spend my entire day in this room, the meeting of the DNS Security and Stability Advisory Committee is in room B56. Thank you very much, and we'll see you there.